This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 351. It's more than just dildo bats and aliens. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
And we have a brand new episode of our weekly podcast for you guys this week. How you doing, Panda?
I'm doing good.
Yeah? Good? Yeah. Or like, just like, okay, good? Or like, what?
I'm like, what?
Yeah, that's a good place to be in. That's good stuff. It's good times.
I appreciate a what every now and then.
You know, who doesn't appreciate a good what every now and then? I mean, you know what's good, though? When you get a good, what?
Yep, I totally just raised the roof.
And you go, whoop-de-whoop.
Oh, I don't whoop-de-whoop.
You don't whoop-de-whoop?
No, I
that's
don't whoop-de-whoop.
That's sad. Everyone should have, like, a whoop-de-whoop.
Nah, no. You can do that, sis. I will just stick to...
What?
Yeah.
That's okay. Exactly. You know what? Whoop-de-whoo is not for everybody.
No,
you know,
it's not.
Everybody has their own taste, and I respect that you're a what, and not a whoop-de-whoop. It's okay.
Thank you.
It's all right.
I'm glad that you appreciate that I am of one ilk and you are of another ilk.
I do. I think that it's what provides the yin and yang of our podcast.
I know. We are quite in balance.
We are almost harmonious, except for the times where I yell at you because you're wrong. But other than that...
Which happens a lot. I'm getting okay with that.
But you know what?
Each and every time.
You know what? And that's a good thing. It's one of the things I appreciate about you.
Aw.
Again. Shucks. I know, right? So much love. So much love. So much love. So with that warm and fuzzy moment out of the way, because, you know, that's not really...
It's not like I'm not, like, with you at all ever.
No.
For you to be all warm and fuzzy.
Right. I mean, it's something that we could do more often, you know,
if
we wanted to.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I always miss you more when you're away.
I know. Which is why I never want to be around.
And most of the time, you're not. See how that works? See how
Burn.
That works? Yes. Would you like some topical ointment for that?
No,
I have Neosporin. I have Bacitracin.
No, but let me know when we pass the Radio Shack.
Okay, no problem. What? Radio Shack?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Yep. All right, moving right along. Bunch of stuff to talk about this week. Man, oh man, there's so many things that we could delve into. Because originally, coming into this week, I was like, I'll probably talk a little bit about Saints Row. And I'll talk about DuckTales, because, you know, the remastered version came out.
I was totally prepared to go DuckTales today.
I was totally prepared to be all DuckTales, woo-hoo. And then, like, Saints Row, woo-hoo. But guess what?
Saints Row 1.
Saints Row, man. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you right now.
You're not honest with me a lot?
No, I'm honest with you a lot, but I'm going to be real honest. You know how you have, like, different levels of honesty? There's, like, you know, the, okay, appropriate for everybody in the room honesty, and then there's the pull you to the side and, like, give you a moment of truth honesty.
All right, let me text you right quick, because I can't say this out loud,
right.
But it's the truth.
But it's the truth, okay? So you have, like, honesty, and then you have, like, truth.
Yes.
I'm going to be, like, real truthiness right now.
All right.
Okay. All I'm going to talk to you today about is Saints Row 4, because it's that fucking awesome.
Well, I mean, I could totally join in the conversation. I played it.
I know, and I think that you and I are both in the agreement of how fucking awesome it is.
Yes.
And don't get me wrong, DuckTales is cool as shit, too, but DuckTales is going to have to wait a minute.
DuckTales is going to have to go to the coffee shop. And listen to some really bad indie music with no real name.
Let
us have an adult conversation.
It's going to have to go and get a mocha frappuccino, no foam, half calf. I don't know what else people weirdly do with their Starbucks, but it'll have to do that.
It has to go to the last known Barnes and Nobles in our area and go stare at the stationery for like 40 minutes.
But there's nice stationery over there. And
right,
also,
DuckTales will be entertained.
And it won't be alone because Disney Infinity is also going to have to wait.
Oh, see, maybe they can have coffee there together.
They should have coffee, you know, have some compare notes maybe. Because
why don't we ever get that kind of,
here's the thing. If Saints Row 4 hadn't been, like, in our hot little hands, this episode would be DuckTales and Disney Infinity.
Wow.
However.
It's not. It's like, sorry, Disney and DuckTales.
You will have your day.
Is it technically DuckTales part of Disney anyway, so it would have been just a Disney show
It would have been a Disney show this week. And
sorry, Disney.
But no. But don't worry, you will have your day, because every dog has its day. Every Disney has its episode. But this episode is all about Volition, baby.
Just like Matt Damon always got bumped off of Jimmy's show, we have to bump Disney today.
I know, poor Matt Damon.
We have no time for Disney.
We're so sorry to Disney. We'll have you back on another show, we promise. But I wonder, you know, as far as, like, the Matt Damon bumping thing as a running joke on Kimmel show, right?
It was Kimmel.
Yeah. So did they bump him when Elysium came out? Because he kind of had to do a junket
Man,
for Elysium.
Man, that would have been such a dick move.
So, like, did they bump him?
I wonder. Look, we were going to talk about Elysium, but we don't have time.
Internet, search that for me and let me know. Because I'm curious now that you bring that up. Like, Did they bump him while he was promoting
his
own show?
Or did they just not book him at all?
Or did they just not book him at all?
Like, look, it's like, if we put you on the show, we're going to end up bumping you because something else is going to happen. So go promote your movie everywhere else.
We'll just say we put you on there and we'll be like, Elysium, you should check it out. We're so sorry to Matt Damon. I want to know. Internet, go search that for me. Hit us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/nerdfs, and let me know. All right. So now that we've told you how sorry we are about this not being a Disney episode, and that we'll get to Disney next week, we promise.
We promise.
Okay, this is me pinky swearing. Okay, you can't see my pinky, but pinky's out.
I know it's out.
Okay,
I felt
and
his
I just,
presence.
I just curled it, and I make this promise to you. Next week it'll be Disney. I promise.
All okay? Disney.
All Disney. Whole episode. Whole but for right now, I want to take you to the land of Steelport. I want to talk to you about Zinniac, and I want to talk to you about just the assload of fun. I can't even say boatload. Assload of fun that I have been having this past week playing Saints Row 4. Now,
okay.
First of all, I want to talk a little bit about how scared we both were that when THQ was folded, that was going to mean for Volition and what that was going to mean for Saints Row. You know, it had been a pretty successful franchise, but, you know, the company still folded. So we weren't necessarily sure who, if anyone, was going to pick up the property and whether or not Volition was going to stay Volition and the game was going to stay the way the game was. You know, because originally,
I mean, when all that stuff was happening, I know it was right around the time that they were going to release the Enter the Dominatrix DLC.
And then they killed it because the new leader of the company really wanted to kind of tone down the silliness of Saints Row and make it more
GTA-ish.
And to be a direct competitor with GTA, which, you know, I've never been in the camp of Saints needing to be that. GTA takes care of the more serious storylined adventure, drive, shoot 'em up, brawler, action adventure genre. I don't need an exact copy of that. What I loved about Saints was that Saints was undeniably not that. It was over the top, fun, extravagant, just out there. Silly and never taking itself too seriously other than ensuring that whoever played the game had fun. Even if you didn't like the majority of the game, everyone has a mission that is just the mission that for them that was, that like, crazy fun. That is,
like, the best mission for them ever.
That they just enjoyed from the moment the mission started till it ended. Whether it was, you know, the dialogue that your character says while escorting somebody, or just the fact that you're being attacked by a bunch of Yankees that you have to hit with a dildo bat. You know, whatever it is. That it's just so silly and enjoyable. Everyone had at least that mission. Which I think, you know, if you can walk out of a video game and go, you know what? That was a bunch of fun. Whether it was because it looked great or it had a fantastic frame rate or you fell in love with the character. At the end of the day, as long as you walk away from a game going, I had a shit ton of fun with that. Then the game is successful. Because let's not forget, guys. We're talking about playing games. Okay? They should be fun. For the player. So if your idea of fun is strategy and figuring it out and really taxing your brain, then the games that you play that are supposed to deliver that should deliver that.
And if they don't, then you're in the wrong genre.
Or the game was not really written for you. And it may have been marketed that way. And you know what? That
happens. Not everything is about you. I bet you think this game is about you.
It's not.
Well, technically.
No, it's not about you. As much as it's about you.
It's you, but it's not you, but it's sort of you.
Right, so it's you-ish. It's you-like.
It's you-light.
Yeah. So, let's dig in. First of all, very glad that Volition was able to find a new home. Deep Silver picked them up, so big ups to Coke Media on that. Giving them a home and giving them a home in the state that they were, which was great, you know. So everyone who had been working on the game was able to continue working on the game.
Yeah, big ups to that.
So, absolutely. Very glad that Volition is still Volition, and that Saints Row was confirmed to still be a project that was on deck, that was going to happen, it was going to be released. So a lot of fears were alleviated, at least I think for a big chunk of us in the gaming community who weren't exactly sure what was going to happen with 4, if it was going to become something that it completely wasn't, which was more serious and basically not Saints Row, or if it was going to, you know, still have the balls and the silly and the fun that it's known for having. Being, I think right now at this point, I am just shy of 35 hours in to the game.
Oh, man.
I know. You've played it more than I have, sis.
I have completely dominated, and that's not even saying it lightly. That is me boasting to the top of my
breastplate?
Yeah.
Yeah, that. I'm just shy of 35 hours in. I have not completed the game. But what I can say is, this is probably the most fun that I've had doing side quests and collectible missions in a game.
I feel like they found the best way to make side quests feel not tedious, even if they are repetitive, which in some instances they can be in this game. But the way that they frame them and present them, you don't feel like, ugh, I have to go do this if I want this. Nope. It just happens to come back full circle eventually if you're paying attention to what's going on with your characters in the game.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that I love about Saints Row 4 is it feels so balanced even though it's so silly and over the top. So the premise of the game, if you've played Saints Row the Third, you know that you end the game basically saving the entire world.
Yep. Okay. You totally go Zero Dark Saints.
Okay, you save all of Steelport. Everyone's thankful to you. And so you were, you know, turning shit around in Steelport. And the world is so thankful that you are now the president in Saints Row 4. Okay, so remember, you've now gone through the game from common upstart gang to now president.
Yeah. Okay.
You, as the president, have filled out your cabinet with
pretty much your gang.
Well, as well as some old favorites. So, Benjamin Motherfucking King, which if you played Saints Row the entire franchise, you know that he headed up the rival gang in Saints Row the second.
The Vice Kings.
The Vice Kings. And Benjamin motherfucking King is in your cabinet. Yep. And there are appearances of well-known characters, leaders of rival gangs and things like that. Junichi's in there. A bunch of people from other games. So it's almost a love letter to itself.
In it is, which is, in this case, is not.
Like, pretentious.
It's not pretentious or arrogant at all.
You know, like, there are other games that, you know, give a nod to themselves, and you kind of feel like, okay, yeah, we get it. All right, yep, like, there it is. Oh, yeah, we're with you. Okay.
We're so witty and funny, yeah. I can't stand myself.
Yeah, and everyone's like, all right, yeah, we get it. Okay, and let's move on. But the way that these characters are brought back in and how they appear, it feels right. In the whole context of everything. And it's not so over the top and in your face that you're like, okay, I get it. You've made an homage to an older version of the game. But it feels right. And it doesn't feel...
Well, let's discuss the premise, because everyone's just like, oh, well, it sounds really great, but what are we really getting at? So yeah, how does it fit in with the fourth?
So basically what happens in Saints Row the fourth, and I'm not giving anything away, and we promise you, we are not going to give anything away in this podcast.
Absolutely.
In later
not.
Podcasts, we're probably going to spoil the shit out of it, but we're not going to give anything.
We're going to give you guys the ample amount of time that you're going to need to get the game,
to play
some old hickory beer, get some freckle bitches, and get your shit done.
Yeah, freckle bitches.
Freckle bitches.
I love this game. All right, so you're the president. You're doing presidential shit.
Like curing cancer or like feeding the hungry?
Yep. You know, it's one of the choices that you have to make. All right. And again, we're not spoiling anything because we're assuming that you guys have seen the trailers and the gameplay stuff that they've put out since E3. So we're not spoiling anything here. Okay?
Nope.
All right, so you're making choices, doing presidential shit. You got your cabinet. Sean D's like, what's up? You know, we got to do some things. Okay, and then all shit breaks loose. And by all shit breaking loose, I mean dudes from outer space come invade the world.
The world.
Start kidnapping people.
Kinsey's and not like, just anybody. People that they feel are smart.
Yes. The best of the best. So it's basically like space rapture.
Darwinism.
No, no.
It's
space rapture. The aliens come, they take the best of the best, and then everybody else is left on the planet fucked.
Yep.
Right? Space rapture.
I like that. Space rapture.
Thank you. You know, I was kind of thinking of it yesterday, and I was like, nope, I'm working it into the podcast because I thought of it, and I love it.
Sucked up into the air.
Exactly. There's a light that comes down. They get beamed above the ship. It's space rapture.
They did not play Whitney Houston when people got raptured, though.
No,
but
no, they didn't.
That's
they didn't.
Okay. You because don't need it necessarily.
Because it's space rapture. It's not the rapture.
Right.
Okay. You get Whitney with the rapture.
The real rapture.
Okay, not space rapture.
Got it.
All right. I think it would be appropriate to get, like, the final countdown with space rapture.
Oh, my God. That would be so
See,
epic.
I'm telling you, I've had, like, this thought train since yesterday, and I was really proud of myself. I was like, nope, I'm getting it.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm like, sometimes, like, the thoughts come together, sis, and I'm like, oh, man, look at me. Gold star for me. So, yeah, space rapture.
That's awesome.
So the space rapture happens, and first Kinsey goes, Sean D goes, and space rapture is led by Zinniak, who is basically the leader of the Zin, which is this gnarly-looking race of space people who basically believe in conquering, destroying other worlds.
You know who they remind me of in
the
terms
Borg,
of their construction?
The Borg, but with personality.
What?
The Borg, but with personality.
No, I was honestly thinking, like, the way that they look like the bad guys that you fight in Gears of War a little bit.
Locust?
Yeah.
Yeah, with a little bit more defined, I think. They look like Locust on steroids.
Yes. That's what I was
Because they're, like,
at.
Beefier and they're, like, a wider, but yeah, they definitely...
They have that kind of orcish... Look.
The orc bug kind of
thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I agree.
And Zinniak, who is the biggest of them, really, and has the most pompous, arrogant accent and mindset.
Well, you know what Zinniak feels like to me? And I really would love to do an interview with some of the Volition team to talk about this, because this is how I feel Zinniak came about. Ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
We're going to take the locusts. We're going to put them on steroids. Okay?
Okay.
So that's how they're going to look. But the leader of this group has to be a pompous asshole. So how do we make him a pompous asshole? We model him after, like, Klingons and, like, Khan. Okay? From Star Trek. Where he's, you know, got this theater-type bravado, so he already comes off arrogant because he's talking down to you from a pillar of, like, He came off
really foppish to me.
Yeah.
Like
take Frasier and a Klingon and, like, Khan. Okay, so mine is a superior intellect, and I'm far superior to you, and oh, by the way, you know, especially because there's, like, a mission where he's, like, quoting, I can't remember if it's Kipling or Shakespeare.
He starts quoting Shakespeare.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm quoting from Hamlet, motherfucker, or whatever.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I remember that.
So I'd love to, like, just pick their brains on how that character came all together. Because it's a really nice juxtaposition when you have, like, this big brooding thing that's, you know...
who has whooped your ass once before at this point.
Yes, but is, you know, quoting Shakespeare and does all kinds of other weird, wacky things as you go
and
along.
And likes to sing operatically.
Like, yes, a lot. Again, he's like Space Frasier, but beefy.
Yeah.
You know, and so I feel like, you know, things are not going to end well for him, but we'll find that out. Anyway, you're the president, then Space Rapture happens, and you're like, damn, I got to get my people back. So you fire up the most amazing gun from the front lawn of the White House.
Yes.
Basically trying to take them all out. You don't win, and you end up being captured, and you get thrown into this digital realm.
This simulation.
That Zinniak has built. And you are trying to get out of the simulation so you can save the world. Kinsey ends up helping you. And it takes you a little while to realize that you're in a simulation. But Kinsey ends up helping you to try and do that. And hijinks then ensue within the simulation. And that's how they get away with your going from being just a regular human being, although you are, you know, the leader of the free world and a saint, but a superhero. So that's where the faster than fast speed comes in, the ability to jump buildings and single bounds and other powers that you get.
Rocky from Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yes. You know, and how you justify the superpowers is because you're in the simulation. And the simulation is basically the city of Steelport. So in the previous games where you had to take out rival gangs, you are in this game creating
taking out flashpoints that have groups of the Zin hanging out.
And
disrupting, also hotspots.
Right. And disrupting the simulation to give Kinsey time to infect it with viruses, try to take areas over, and so on and so forth. So that you can basically turn the simulation against Zinniak. That's, I think, ultimately the plan.
But we're not only relying on Kinsey's ability, even though hers is primarily the foundation that starts the ball rolling. While you're in the simulation, to get certain access to certain things, even you have to do a certain amount of hacking from inside.
Correct.
Which I think is a really great thing that goes on in this game, because your character really kind of snubs Kinsey in the third a lot. And this gives you a good chance of settling that ground with this particular character and building that bond.
Absolutely, absolutely. Kinsey definitely, I feel like, is given more of a responsibility and
in
a little bit
game.
Of respect. A little bit, not a lot, a little bit in this game as opposed to the third. Additionally, coming back from the third, you have Matt.
Yep, Matt Miller.
Who was the head of the Deckers, the cyber gang, in the third. Matt now works for MI6 under Asha Odakar, who is a MI6 agent who you meet early on in the game.
Goldfinger!
And Asha kicks ass, takes no prisoners. I actually love the character. She's pretty badass. Additionally, your homies in the game, obviously, Shondi is there making a return from the third. You also have Pierce, Because it's really not a Saints game without Pierce.
It's not. No, it is not a Saints game without Pierce and singing with Pierce in the car.
Okay, it's just, it's not. And so
if those two things do not happen, no Saints Row game is being made.
It's something else, but it's not a Saints Row game.
It's not a Saints Row.
And then in addition to those characters, like I said, you have Asha Odakar, who's from MI6. You have your vice president, Keith David, as Keith David.
Keith David as Keith David.
Fucking Keith David, man. Oh, so good. You also have a AI in the game named Sid. Who you'll come across. And then there are some old acquaintances that also make appearances in the simulation, which are very interesting, including another Shandi, which, like I said, we're not going to spoil everything, but it's there. So there's a lot of different characters in the game. And what I love about the structure is, you know, as we talked about before, the side missions don't feel like they're a have to in order to really experience the game. You can critical path Saints Row 4 if you want.
And you really can. You can really core mission everything and never delve into the side quests. Just you would be setting yourself up for some hard times.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Going
as you go
forward
across.
In progression.
Because there are a lot of different activities for you to do within the city of Steelport. More so than in Saints Row the Third. And yet, it doesn't feel like you're overwhelmed with them. And that's what I was really surprised in. You know, because you had escort missions in St. Rose the Third. You had basically hotspots in St. Rose the Third because you had to go to those places where the different gangs were hanging out and wipe them all out in that space in order to take over that space and claim that piece of the city, which are, in essence, what hotspots and flashpoints are in the city. So you still have those things. You had the stores that you could rob or you could buy things from in Saints Row the Fourth.
I never robbed from the stores.
Well, I did because
I
wanted
to
achieve going
back in there to buy clothes eventually.
Oh yeah, if you robbed the store, it didn't stop you from being able to shop at it later on. But you had to rob a store in order to get one of the achievements. So I did.
But I'm just saying, I had morality. I'm not going to steal from a place that
no,
I want.
No, you didn't
to
because you ride up on the sidewalk just killing people for no reason. You'd run around the city naked, smacking people with a dildo bat. Wait.
I support businesses.
Are you trying
not
to run for
pedestrians on the street?
Oh my god.
If you're in my way, you're going to get
so what you're
the
saying,
penetrator in the face.
So what you're saying is that you are extreme capitalist.
I am an extreme capitalist. So much so I will beat you with
I
a
will beat
giant
the customers
donut.
That I need to buy my products. But
buy,
I won't
buy it now. Saints flow. Let it go.
So, but anyway, so like I said, you have the escort missions, you have the flashpoints and the hotspots, which are basically gang takeover spots littered throughout the city. Additional collectibles, you know, you have audio logs, which give you a little more background for all of the characters, your homies in the game, to understand where they're coming from and things like that. You have a collectible where you have to get Zinniak's backstory by collecting
The text adventures,
which are little computer terminals strewn throughout all of Steelport. You have a collectible piece where you have to destroy statues.
All these statues of
Zinniak that are around the city. And again, all of these things are optional. And then you also have clusters that you collect. And clusters within the simulation are pieces of data that allow you to boost the superpowers that you get in the game. I cannot stress enough how important it is to collect the clusters. If you do no other collection that I've talked about, you know, unlocking the stores, the escort missions.
Then you'll
want
to do this one, and you're going to want to commit to doing it early because there's over 1,200 of them.
There are 1,200 clusters throughout the city of Steelport, and whether those
like,
are...
they're everywhere, guys.
They're
like,
on buildings, they're in the ground,
they're
floating
in
orbs. Where
you have to get them out of the buildings. They're everywhere.
They're on top of things, they're on top of towers, not to mention there are these 5 towers strewn throughout the city that you need to take over and create your blue light. So just like in the city of Steelport, as you would take over areas, they would take on the color of the Saints. The same thing happens in the simulation. Your light is blue, and Zinniak's is red. So it's like Tron with the MCP versus Tron, which I love. And I was like, yeah, homage to nerdies. What's up? And there's a lot of homage in this game, by the way.
I think so every instance, if you're not paying attention, then you're not going to see them because they're all in plain sight at all times.
At all times, which is really all cool. Times. And that's why I say that for me, one of the things that I love about Saints Row 4 is that really and truly is it comes off as a love letter to just nerdery and gaming, because there's so many homages, not only just to other games, but also memes that are going on, stuff that pops up on the radio stations, like one of the newscasters on K-12, which is one of the radio stations you can listen to when you're driving around in cars, because you still have the ability to steal cars, take them to rim jobs, boost them up,
granted. And this is one of the things I have to tip my hat off to Volition for, because back in Saints Row 3, and Ninja, you can completely back me up on this, that we became whore junkies, like car junkies.
Yeah, like, I was about to say, I wasn't, like, amassing whores, but
I was collecting followers everywhere. But car junkies, like, we'd go search out where certain cars were going to be, jack a car, and you had to get it to a rim job that you owned in order to keep it.
Yep.
But because you're stuck in the simulation in this game, it's all digital. So you can just digitally save the vehicle.
Yep, which is really
cool.
There
is no strong purpose, no strong will outside of just wanting to be a collectophile in getting a car and pimping it out.
With the exception of, I have found that riding around in a car is easier sometimes to slip into neighborhoods that are full of Zin, as opposed to flying in and dropping in.
Oh, my God. I fly in. I power stomp the ground. I take out my web gun, and I just blast I just drop the base.
Yeah, and here's the thing. All you need is wubs. So I'm gonna get to that in a second. But
wubs are all you need.
Yep. But I did search out a couple of the new vehicles that are in the game because I wanted to see what they were like deck them out. So I do have a stable, but you're right. Unlike the previous game where we literally were looking for every single car and then to deck them out and be like, well, what did you do to your Tempest? Well, here's my daytime Tempest and here's my nighttime Tempest. This is my nighttime
Tempest. Here's my Atlantica that looks like my real life car.
Yep.
That I like to call the Statham. This is what I did. I put nitros on it. Not that this car could in real life hold nitrous.
No, you're not putting NOS on a
Statham. No
on
way.
On a Dodge. That's not. Don't do that.
Not gonna
unless
happen.
It's a Charger. Don't put nitrous in it.
That's a rock. But that's not even the right.
No, it's not. That's Chevy, and that's for the trucks. So anyway. But I did collect some cars, but you really don't need them. As you boost your superpowers, you're going to find that you're not going to travel by car or by bike.
You're going to find out that you travel faster by jumping straight in the air and just gliding.
Yep, than actually taking a vehicle. As you move on in the game. But you can still definitely, you know, get some vehicles to achieve some of the things like the burnout achievements and challenges. Those guys are all there. In addition to those collectibles that I've talked about, you have a whole level of side quests. And these side quests come from your homies.
That you are, you know, you're entering into their simulations to get them out. Because the way that the simulations work is primarily you're going through the crappiest of crap that ever happened to you in your sim, in your simulation, over and over and over again. And you get more experience with that the more simulations you go into. And some are far more deep than others,
right.
I want to say.
Yeah, because Zinniak is basically torturing everyone. So everyone is stuck in the simulation in their own personal hell.
Yep.
And so in order for you to take the fight to Zinniak, you, working with Kinsey, break into everyone's simulation to get them out.
To get them out, yeah.
And once you get them out, they become your homie.
Yes. Yep, that is all 100% true.
And then once they're your homie, you can work on making them a super homie in the simulation by doing their loyalty mission.
That's right, we got loyalty missions in this game, guys. So I think Volition was hanging out with BioWare one day, and they're like, you know what? We would totally like to do something like you guys do in Mass Effect. And they're like, you know what? You're already going in space. Make them loyal to you. Give them a costume change. Make them feel pretty.
They feel pretty, also pretty. No, I feel like I said, you know, Saints Row 4 really feels to me like a love letter to video games. And it's obvious that the team are gamers, that they've played Mass Effect, and one of the things that they love was the whole loyalty thing, and that you get something by making a character loyal to you. So how do you add that to the game in a way that feels right?
And I mean, and we got romancing in this game, though I haven't
again broached
exactly what that is.
You know, and I feel like, you know, that also comes from playing games like Mass Effect and other games where, you know, that Dragon aspect Age is in there. You know, so I feel like, you know, everybody that was on this team is definitely gamers and went, okay, you know, here's the stuff that we love right now in gaming. We love the loyalty missions. We love the collectibles that have real meaning, you know, other than just being a collectible for money, right? You know, Yes. This, if you collect all of these things, you will be able to be basically invincible in the simulation. If you do all the side quests, you will have all of the weapons available.
You'll have all the weapons, all the specialty weapon upgrades. You'll also, in two of the challenges, you'll get certain abilities that are only unlocked through completing them. I think at a certain time, I'm not exactly 100% on which ones, because there's still two things I have not unlocked in terms of my abilities yet.
Right.
When it comes to sprinting, because you do get a super sprint in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But you really...
Oh, you can't be Simulation Jesus yet?
Not yet, but I'm pretty close, because honestly, if you time things right from your jump, holding your jump,
yeah,
and you hit water, if you let go, it's like you kind of skip across like a rock.
Yes.
So, and I do that.
But there is a beef up for your speed run that will allow you to run on water.
Because I'm hung like Jesus.
Anyway,
speaking of being hung.
Oh, Lord. No. Well, if you are a male president, because
yes,
you know, no, we do have character creation.
I want to take a step back. That because let's go back to the creation, because know that one of the greatest things about Saints Row is that you can customize your character to look however you want,
and
whenever
sound
you want,
however you want. And that's one of the things that I tip my hat to Volition on. If you want to make a female character and give him a dude voice, you can do
there
that.
There you go, boom, he's got one.
Yep.
She could feel like a woman with a baritone voice.
Yep. You want to make a dude run around in a dress? Go for it.
Go for it.
However creative you want to be, however you want to play
the game.
You want to
make him look like Captain fucking Planet? Make him look like
Captain fucking Planet. No Planeteers, though. But fucking do it. And I love that about the game. Yeah, because
like,
it lets me...
Right now, I believe my character looks like Rainbow Bright.
My character looks like Aisha Tyler.
Still?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't mean to do it. It was completely by accident. I swear to God. I was like, well, because I didn't know. So let's back up and talking about character creation. When I picked up the game, I was so excited to pick up the game. I put it in my Xbox because we have the Xbox version and I'm playing Panda's version while she's not home. So I put it in my Xbox. I turned it on. And I jumped right into the game. I didn't look at any of the menus. I hit start. I fixed my brightness. It was like, great, you want to make your character? I was like, yes, I want to make my character. I didn't look at any other menu. I was like, I'm making a female character. And I'm going to make my own fixins. And so I went in and I made my own fixins. I didn't look at the whole area where I could have brought my Saints Row the third person over. Because I would have done that. Didn't look at it. But it's there.
I did that.
So that's really cool. I love that you can bring your leader of the Saints from the third into the fourth.
But that's only if you uploaded a picture of your character from Saints Row the third from the third disc.
To the forums, right?
Like, yes. You had to, like, put a picture up from the forums for you to download it. So if you didn't do that from three, then
right,
you're not going to be able
that
to...
That happened automatically when you use the imagination station, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's how I created my character early on. So I would have been able to do that if I had looked. But I didn't look because I was so excited. I was like, I'm making a black chick. Woo!
I looked, so.
Yeah. That's because you're sometimes a little more diligent than I am.
Only like 15% of the time.
But I just
wanted... it doesn't happen very often. So when it does happen, it's something to tweet and like Facebook
about. I was just so excited that I had to jump into it. I was like, I gotta. So I did. I jumped in. But go ahead and talk about character creation, because I think that you spent probably a little bit more time than I did.
Oh, yes, I did. Because, as we all know, I'm a big fan of creation in games and being able to have my style be reflected everywhere I can possibly put it. You want to give me a house? Great.
Let me style it.
You want to give me a jacket? All right, let me style it. Give me a bedazzle gun and some glue and some glitter and My Little Pony and bam, style.
Yep.
Please note my sarcasm. But anyway, so in the game, once again, you do have the ability to go to your plastic surgeon for the cheap, cheap, cheap price of $500.
To change your entire look.
Or your sex.
Yes.
And all of it. Your taunts and compliments are also in the whole system. But I did decide to play around because one day I decided I was going to go and change, like, my hairstyle because they've given us so many more options this time around.
A bunch.
Than the third. So they were listening to their base, which is great. But I decided one day to turn my character into a dude.
Oh, you're a dude now?
No, I went back to being a chick, but I wanted to see what my dude would look like.
Oh, okay.
Like, my character as a dude.
Okay.
And, you know, because my character has some amazing tracts of land. A little bit bigger than I thought initially.
Wait, your dude character or your chick character?
My chick character had really big tits.
Yes. Yes.
And I didn't realize.
It's really funny.
I only ever looked at her from
the front?
The front, and I never looked at her from the side.
And you didn't pick up on it and was like, damn, she's got big titties.
No, I really didn't realize that they were as big as they were. So, of course, when that happened, I'm like, you know, because I was sitting there one day and Hot Mess is in the living room with me and he's like, wow, she's got big. I'm like, I know. I'm like, if I was a dude, I'm sure it would like translate to like his pouch downstairs.
And he's
like, are you serious? And I'm like, let's find out. So I changed my gender and sure enough, you know, the area was engorged. Not ridiculously so, but enough for you to go, But, you know, compared from big boobies to, you know, trunk.
Big bulge.
Front butt stuff.
Front butt.
The guy, his area doesn't bounce.
Well, that's because he's probably a briefs guy.
Well, he was in briefs. I had him in briefs because my female character wears briefs.
Wait, and he didn't bounce when you ran?
No, like, and I ran around.
Oh, that's not right. That's not right.
I was a little concerned because I'm like, so when a chick with big boobs runs, it can be bouncy, but like a guy can't like walk down the street and then when he stops, you see just like a little, like just a little bit.
None. It should sway a little.
There was no sway.
Unless they're like tight. Were they like tight briefs? Were like.
Like, they did hug him.
Because if they're, like, spandex, then you wouldn't have a sway.
But I was just saying, if you're going to go
for cotton,
the flamboyantly
there would be, like,
obvious,
some adjustments.
I'm just saying, if you're going to go for the flamboyantly obvious.
I mean, you should,
You should in both respects, not in one way versus the other.
I mean, I agree with you. There should be a little sway.
Yes. And I had it all the way up to 100.
Ooh.
And I'm just like, I was expecting it to be like Tex Avery style, but they're very tasteful about it.
They're tasteful with Wang. Well, that's good.
I was totally waiting for like a ooga, like I was waiting for that to happen, but of course that doesn't. But guys get it off a lot easier in terms of their appearance in the junk department in Saints Row 4. But that's okay because I like to see some titties
look,
move.
I'm not gonna lie. I gave my female because I didn't make a black female president. I always, whenever I'm given the option to make a black female in a game, I do it. And it's not because I'm like, oh, I want girls in games. And I run it now, and I'm a feminist. Don't get me wrong. I have nothing against feminism.
I love feminists.
Okay, but. For me, it's more that I like seeing a lead character who somewhat reflects me as opposed to a character that doesn't. I can still align with a character if they're male and Caucasian.
As long as they're written well.
Or, you know, any race, as long as they're written well. But when given the option to create my own destiny, I definitely tend to create a black female more than not. And if I can't make a black female, I will make a female. You know, so it as long as I have that creation option, that's what I tend to do because I enjoy it a little bit more when I feel like I'm watching myself up on screen or someone like me up on screen than someone not like me at all. Okay?
Okay.
So I like putting that out there. It's not about feminism and it's not about, oh, I need a female lead in order to enjoy the game at all. Not at all. Not at all. It's just that it's what I prefer when given the option. So I love that I have the option of that in Saints Row. for me, I built my character, and I accidentally built Aisha Tyler. I did not mean to build Aisha Tyler, but I did build oily Aisha Tyler, because I picked the shiny afro skin as opposed to the dull afro skin.
Yeah, I know. I went back, and then I did it after I saw that you could do it. I was like, you're really shiny.
I know. I was like, yeah. And she's like, why are you so shiny? And I was like, because I picked the shiny skin. Because I believe in lubrication.
I lotioned up with Aveeno.
Because Aveeno is good shit. Duh. So I accidentally built Aisha Tyler, including, you know, changing the pitch of voice. Although I was really, really tempted to go with Nolan North as her voice, just because I could. But
just because they gave you the option.
Yes, of picking Nolan North, which I thought was fantastic. So I did go with a female voice, and I changed the pitch, and then I was like, oh my god, as I started playing the game, I was like, I built Aisha Tyler. Like, she's tall, she's got a decent rack, but she's not like, hey! She's
but she has no ass at all?
She has no ass at all. Like, if you look at her, you're like, you have hips. Not so much dead ass. Your female character, dead ass!
But oh my god, so much, my character has so much ass. But anyway.
Not mine.
We are getting lost in
that thought. Ass.
But
it's
overall,
easy to do. I mean, it really is.
But overall, I think in terms of creation, they really did up the ante.
Definitely.
Once again, I am kind of sad to see that we haven't gotten any options to deck out planes or boats.
Have you stolen a boat yet?
No.
I haven't stolen a boat yet either.
No. And I'm not 100% sure. Like, I'm neither going to confirm or deny that there's a chance where you're stealing a boat. But I feel like if that opportunity is presented, that we should be able to dock a boat in a marina and be able to pimp our boats out.
Well, I'm going to take a step back, and I feel like I'm going to correct you in that there are some planes that you may be able to do that with. And here's the reason why I say that. I haven't found one yet, but when you steal a plane, which I already have, when you go to any of the gates that you use, the gateways to go between the simulation and your ship, which is basically your base, when you're outside of the simulation, when you go to any of the gateway decks, if you've stolen a plane, you end up with a hangar. And from the hangar, you can pick any of your planes that are in there. And there is a customized section that's listed, and I've only stolen one plane, and there's no customizations for it, so there's nothing underneath the customization menu there, but that's not to say that there aren't planes that you could customize.
All right, so it's listed there. I'm glad, because then someone was obviously listening to my podcast from the third, because I was so mad that I could never... Because
I stole a Snopes, you know, the black jet from the airport. You can save it just like any other vehicle. So you hold down on the D-pad to save the vehicle once you're in it, if it's a new vehicle. And so I can't customize it because it's all black and it's a jet. But I haven't stolen any other planes. But there was a customized section that was listed there. It just didn't have anything under it. So I feel like there are probably some planes, you know, maybe some of the prop planes that you can change, like the flag on the end and stuff like that, that you can customize.
Okay.
To a degree. And so I imagine that since that's there for planes, it's more than likely there for boats and jet skis as well. But it may be, you know, just in the case of stealing some of the alien vehicles, limited to no customization, depending upon what vehicle it is. But I think that those things are there.
All right. So, I mean,
the bone of your contention may actually be addressed.
Actually be resolved.
You just may not have stolen the thing to see it.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm probably in, I want to say, like, my last, I want to say, 4 quests.
Okay.
Before I will finish up.
All right.
But I'm going through and doing all the targets. Because the great thing about some of the side quest things that they have available that allow you to take over more and more parts of your simulation are these things called targets, where you're uploading virus codes, you're deleting virus code. You're doing rift stuff for Sid because, you know, Sid has these rifts that are open that when you do them, will keep them fucking up with the system, which is what you essentially want to do.
You basically want to fuck the system.
You want to fuck the system.
You want to disturb
so
the peace.
Like, all the time. You are no one to fuck with.
You are ludicrous, and you are DTP, disturbing the peace.
Okay, I was going to say, like,
no, no, that, down, no, no.
down to poop?
No, no, not down to poop. This is not Jersey Shore.
DDP.
No. DDP. Disturbing the peace.
Down to poop.
No, I mean, well, anyway. I'm always, you know what, let's just stop there, because this is just going to go someplace bad, but...
Anyway, but the nostalgia from All Saints Rose Pass are present. They're not done in a cheesy, just remember the good times way. Like...
No, they fit.
The nostalgia fits perfectly for what is going on. So it was a great way of including itself in itself, if that makes sense.
Yes. It was done really well, because there are some games that we've all played, and I'm sure there are plenty of us that can name a couple, that, you know, reference themselves, and it just feels tacked on.
Like, oh, haha, you're talking about blah, blah, blah.
You know, and we've all been there. This does not feel tacked on. It was obviously always part of the story. It feels value add, and one of the nice things is, I feel like the way that it's done... It introduces you to the other games so that if this is the first Saints game that you pick up, it'll make you curious about the other games.
Yes. And, I mean, if you're someone who absorbs story very well, you could pick up 4. And if you collect everything and you do every mission and you get everybody and you do all, you will have the solid basis for everything that went on in the other games.
Yep.
They do not leave anything out unless you choose not to search it out.
So like we said, you can definitely critical path it if you want. You'll just be missing out on some of the backstory.
You'll be missing out on 99.9% of the game.
Yeah. So
is
don't
what I'm saying.
So don't crit path it. But don't you could.
No.
If you just wanted to get to the end and then you were like, all right, and now I'm going to go back and do the side quests. You can. You'll only be able to do some of the side quests.
That's right.
You could do that. We don't recommend it.
No, absolutely not.
What's really interesting to me is this really feels like one of the first Saints Row games that I feel like has a really good story.
I find that this game had so much more depth than we are accustomed to getting in a Saints Row game.
Without giving up just being over the top, ludicrous, and silly.
Exactly.
Okay.
Like, it's like, yeah, so I have a tentacle bat that I'm just going to rape women's faces with.
Called the Violator. And not just women, because I don't hit just chicks.
No, I just hit everybody.
I hit everyone with the Violator, which is a giant tentacle bat.
But you get the Violator, which is a giant tentacle that makes that sloppy, floppy sound.
Yes.
When you run.
And it flops when you run. So there's your floppy.
It's big in Japan right now. Like, it's huge in Japan.
Yep.
But... At the same time, even though we've moved on from that, you can still get the Penetrator.
Yep.
You can't buy it, but it is available in the game if you happen to find one.
Yep.
And you can relive your glory days. I most certainly did.
Mm-hmm. It's like the secret sauce. It's in there.
It's in there.
Okay. Just like one of the vehicles you can find is a flying broom. So you can go all Harry Potter on the city if you want.
Hell yeah.
If you find it.
Right.
Because it's so on top of a random fucking building.
It's an open world, and it's huge, and they want you to explore every nook and cranny.
And they really do.
They want you so familiar with it that you'll get it pregnant.
Yeah, really. Kind of, sort of.
They want you to move in with it.
Saints Row really wants you to knock it up.
Knock it up.
At the end of the day, that's kind of really what it wants you
that's
to do.
That's the goal.
Have so much fun that you're just like, you got to get in there. And you do.
So, I mean, from the standpoint that I sit at, if you've been a lover of Saints Row since the beginning, then this is a no-brainer purchase. Like, it is.
You should have already purchased it. If you love Saints Row, you should have already purchased it.
You should have already pre-ordered it.
You should be playing the game right now while you're listening to this podcast episode play. And going, yup. Uh-huh. Yup.
Oh, God. And you should be silently praising us for not spoiling a damn thing.
Because we're not. Well, the one thing I will say, though, is when I said wub is all you need, I'm not joking. The wub gun, the dubstep gun, you have to do the side missions to get the dubstep gun. Unless you bought the awesome collector's edition and you get the code to have the wub gun, like, right off the bat. You need to do the side mission to get the wub gun. and then beef up
the Wub-Wub Gun. Don't get me wrong. The Wub-Wub Gun is one of my specialty guns that I keep on me at all times. But it is not my gun of choice.
Oh, ho, ho.
It's not.
What is your gun of choice, Panda?
Honestly, I like to rock two semi-autos. I like to dual-wield guns.
Yes.
So
dual-wield... Two guns are always better than one gun.
I mean, three guns is better than two, but I only have two hands.
Right. Well, unless you're a male.
Unless I'm an octopus.
Right.
And then eight guns is better than
two. Than one.
Yeah. That too. But I always find myself going back to my semi-autos. And the customization even translates to our weapons this time around.
Yes.
And upgrading and changing the customization of your guns will ultimately also change how they work.
Yeah. Not only does changing the appearance, so for instance, putting a different skin on a weapon will actually change at times how it sounds, what bullets come flying out of it, sound, and even the effects that it has when it hits its target. Are affected by weapon customization. So weapon customization should not be overlooked in this game because it is, you know, important. Where before it was mostly to customize in order to increase the amount of ammo that you can hold or the amount of damage that it's done, now it really can play a major role in
now just you how can fast feel you like clear. A pretty princess when you're a giant man with pink polka-dotted guns.
You can have pink polka-dotted SMGs if you want. That's cool. No yep. judgment.
You want camo and tiger print? Bam.
Bam. There you go.
Have it.
You can do that.
Have it.
That's fine. That's just fine.
You want a like not like a saber with like a blue glowing hilt? Bam. That
sort have of it. Makes the lightsaber sound noise when you use it. And it's pretty much a one-hit kill that also gives you health. Yeah, you can do that too. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Have that.
You can have
that on us.
It's no problem. You can have that. If you want that, you can do that. My loadout right now in the game is I have the energy sword, which is the weapon that we were just talking about. I keep the dubstep gun on me all the time. I have the other guns, including the Murderbot gun, and which are basically Terminator-like alloy robots that come at you mindlessly. Which I also thought was another great. I thought was also another great homage. But I have the Murderbot gun. I've used it a little bit. I always go back to the dubstep gun. I carry the semi-auto shotgun, even though I have the thumper. I've built up the semi-automatic shotgun because there's just something that's so satisfying about pumping a shotgun shell into cops. I don't know why in this game that I enjoy that so much, but I do.
I just hit the cops in the face with the dildo bat. With the penetrator.
See, sometimes I switch fast enough to do that, but typically I have the energy sword equipped, so.
Nope. I either walk, and I really enjoyed this. This is like my guilty pleasure in this game, is that I'll put my character in a very sexy outfit. Not like gimp suit sexy, like classy sexy.
Gimp suit really isn't sexy as much as it's like, oh, gimp suit, you know? Yeah.
But, like, I think I was walking around in the Madam President, which is one of the ones you can have primarily at the start, and or you can buy it. And I made it the Saints Row color, and I have my hair like Nicki Minaj from the I'm Out video, blonde.
Okay.
And I'm walking down the street with my purple penetrator. I walked up to one of the cop guys and just, bam, right in the face. Mm, and yeah. I'm like, oh, that felt nice.
Yeah, in a while I like to suplex people. Genki does make a return because Genki has teamed up with Zinniak, and so there are not necessarily Genki bowls, but pieces of the Genki bowl. So there are superhero trials where all you can use are your superhero.
I say that he's teamed up with him. I think Genki is pretty much his own like riot force, like he's his own entity in the game because he disappeared before.
Yeah, no, they're in collusion for whatever reason, because like the announcers talk about it, if you listen to it in the Murder Bowl, of them teaming up together and how it doesn't surprise them that they'd be working together. And Zinniak evidently has like a sick fascination with Genki for some reason.
Oh, he wants to do inappropriate things to
basically
Genki.
So they are working towards the same goal, which is just chaos and death, I'm guessing.
Right. But that's what Genki was all about from the
start.
Exactly.
So it doesn't make, you know, it's not a leap of faith there to make that connection.
We're not getting, you know, ethical reality anymore. We don't get Murder Time Fun Time anymore, but we do get Mind Over Murder.
Yeah. So
in this, and I feel like it's far more challenging.
Mind Over Murder is actually much more challenging. Of all the superpowers that you get, and there are a bunch.
You get a lot. Telekinesis is probably
Not that it's my least favorite. It's the most difficult to control and master. That one you're going to have to spend time with. Because it's very sensitive. More sensitive, I find, than using guns in the game. Which, yes. You know, not to, you know, forget this. There are also all a shit ton of guns in the game that you can have. A few more than in previous games, which are cool. But the Genki side quest things definitely are very challenging to get the hang of, for sure. And like I said, it's so full of stuff. You could critical path it if you want, but you really miss out on a big chunk of just how much fun this game is if you just critical path it. Yes, I mean, you will get some of the major jokes.
There are certain times when you're taking out flashpoints and whatever, since we're talking about Genki, that I've noticed. I've done this about 4 times already, that I will come to a flashpoint, I will be taking out Zin, and Genki will show up, and he will start helping me take out the Zin. But then as soon as all the Zin's gone, and like my notoriety meter has gone up, he then switches perspective and then comes after me.
Really?
Has that not happened for you?
No!
Oh god, it's happened to me like 4 times.
Dude!
I honestly feel like he's like a neutral party because he helps you at first, but then he fucks you over and goes after you. And at the end of it, you know, until you finally kill him, he'll just keep hitting you with the dildo bat.
Dude, that I have not had that experience.
It's going to happen eventually, so be ready for it.
All right, I'll try to. But ultimately, here's what I'm going to say. Again, without spoiling the ending of the game, how good are we, right?
Huh? I know!
Huh?
We haven't done that either.
No, we haven't. Haven't done it. So, with that said, here's how I feel about the game. I started with the Saints franchise with 2. And I fell in love with Saints Row at 2. And so 3 was just, like, awesome for me. And 4, I gotta tell you, I love this game. I will probably replay this game over and over again. And we haven't even talked about, you know, the coming DLC. Because one of the great things that Volition said is that they are going to finish and release as a director's cut piece Enter the Dominatrix. Which, you know, got scrapped coming out of 3 with the whole, you know, possibly making Saints more serious to be a GTA contender or not. But Enter the Dominatrix is planned, released... is a planned release, I should say, for the Saints franchise. Not to mention the additional DLC that you're going to get. Because you know that they've got DLC. So there are going to be additional things that you're going to be able to do outside of the story to keep this on. And I will say I thoroughly enjoyed the DLC that I got with the 3rd. I thought Saints in Space was just funny as all get out. And the clone piece was just adorable. I've played both of those pieces a couple of times since downloading those missions because you can replay the DLC as much as you want. Saints Row the 4th, if you've ever enjoyed a Saints Row game, or if you've enjoyed GTA, but you didn't necessarily want to spend as much time getting emotionally involved as it takes to complete GTA, you owe it to yourself. Just for the dialogue of people that you walk by on the street alone. Because sometimes I'll spend like 20 minutes just walking around just so I can hear the random ass comments that people will make or in their cars. Like if you hit somebody and you kick their car, do some damage to their car, sometimes they'll be like, oh man, now I have to take a bus and get a bus pass because you messed up their car. It's like, it's so funny.
I've gone by somebody on the street who's like, oh, I forgot the pickles.
Yeah.
And I'm like, uh-oh.
You know, listening to commentary that's left on the radio stations, the ability to tweak what music plays on them. You know, there's just so much to this game that it's more than just dildo bats and aliens. But man, oh man, it's got dildo bats and aliens too, though. I thoroughly am enjoying it. I cannot say enough great things about the game. I want to thank Deep Silver for sending us a review unit to play with early so that we could do this podcast for release day. But I got to tell you guys, I had already, coming out of E3, pre-ordered a collector's edition of the game, and I can't wait for it to come to my door today, because even though I've played most of the game, I'm still looking forward to all the stuff that's packed in there, the additional DLC, my replica Wub Wub gun, which I already have cleaned out of space on my office desk to put it on. I love this game. You have got to try it. I'm telling you, you will enjoy it. It is just
so... You will love it so much.
It is seriously ass loads of fun.
It is so much fun. Fun should be illegal.
Well, fun should just be renamed to Saints Row 4. Let's just be honest. It really is just from the moment you turn it on to any time you leave a save point, you will have had fun. And that's Agreed. The hallmark of a great game. So I tip my hat to the Volition team and to Deep Silver. You guys have created a ridiculously fun from beginning to fucking end game. Bravo.
Bravo.
Golf clap. Golf clap. So with that said, unless you've got anything else to say about it, I think you enjoyed it too.
I did. And all I have to say is freckle bitches.
I mean, seriously, you know?
I mean, freckle bitches.
Freckle bitches. Oh, good times. Good times. So with that, you want to make sure that you check out all the stuff that we're writing on our website. Panda is going to be doing an in-depth coverage piece on our page, egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. Be sure to be on the lookout for that feature. It should be live by the time you listen to this podcast as well.
Yep, the ups, the downs, the ins and outs, the or the yay. Yes. All of it in one convenient location.
Yep, egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. You can get our podcast, which if you're listening to this one, you probably should have listened to some of the other ones. And if you haven't subscribed yet, then you want to do that. And you can do it either by going and searching the iTunes application on your desktop computer, the podcast application on your iOS device, or the Microsoft Store by searching for Electric Sisterhood and hitting the subscribe button. Or you can visit us on the web at www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use our short address, which is
ESH.co. That's ESH.co. The short address will bounce to the long one. Takes you right to our page where all of our podcasts are hosted. Right there for your enjoyment. I make images. They're awesome. But we aren't the only show you should be listening to.
That's right. Because we're not the only thing that make up the land of Esh. We have brand new episodes of our podcast that we typically put out on Mondays, except when we have a specialty thing like this show. But on Tuesdays, you can follow up our Monday show with a brand new episode of the Boston Bass Brigade podcast, which is hosted by our homeboy, King Baby Duck, and is the testosterone to our estrogen. So while they'll talk about games, they'll also talk about sports and movies and indie bands and all kinds of stuff over there. So you want to make sure that you check them out. On Wednesdays, pumping fresh beats into your ear is our homeboy Deuces Wild over at Geek Aggro. And let me tell you, there's some really great things that Deuces is introducing you to. I've discovered some really cool new bands and music listening to the Geek Aggro podcast. So you want to make sure that you check that out. House, EDM, trap music. I mean, he covers so much of that stuff now. It's really cool. Ought to get down with it. And then Thursdays, if you've got issues, or you think he's you've got issues, he's the one that's got the issues. The Issues Guy, hosting the Issues program. You want to make sure that you check out his show. It's Call In Live, so you can call in and y'all can discuss your issues together. I mean, what's better than that? Except for maybe bacon.
Discussing your issues over bacon?
Touche, my sister. Touche. So those are all the shows that you got to check out underneath our wing. We love these guys. We recommend them highly. You can check out some of the stuff that we're talking about at all times, keeping up to date with what's going on with ESH by either hitting us up on our Facebook page, landofesh.com, and letting us know your thoughts about things. If there's something that you want us to cover or check out, or you just want to know how we feel about that, go ahead and hit us up on our Facebook page and let us know. We check that thing, like, all the damn time. All the damn time. Or you can keep to date with us on Twitter by following the ESH News handle, that's at ESH News, for all of the links to our reviews the moment that we post them, new podcast episodes, anything that we're putting out on YouTube, or we're putting up on YouTube, you can find it all there. If you want to check out the people who make up the Land of Esh independently to make your Twitter feed so much more enjoyable, then you want to go to my page, twitter.com/ninjasista, and check out the Land of Esh list. So with that, that's all the business that we have for you guys. I'm going to turn to my sister via the internet and say, hey, Panda.
Hey.
What shit you digging this week?
Honestly, it's Alice in Chains. This week.
Wow.
And the reason why is because, one, I saw them in concert last night.
Uh-huh.
And the lead singer's black now.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, what? And I'm like, but I'm digging it. I'm down. And I was like, yeah! Which is why I barely have much of a voice.
Right.
But that's the shit I'm digging this week. What are you digging this week?
Dildo bats.
You don't... Okay, fine. They are awesome.
I don't have one, but damn it.
I don't know if you could actually legally make one.
Yeah, because Aubrey had one at the Saints Row party when we were at E3.
Well, then you should go work for Deep Silver and maybe they'll give you one.
Well, Deep Silver should just hire me.
Well, they should hire me too.
How do you like them apples? Bam. Basically, everybody should just want to hire me.
Right.
But seriously.
That's
everybody should want to give me a dollar. But no, seriously, I've really, 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 really enjoyed Saints Row 4. And I'm looking forward to the DLC and getting my collector's edition today. So as always, I am Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we're out until next week, guys.
Disney next week, guys. We promise.
Pinky promise.